Well, if you're willing and able, would you stand as we read this portion of the Lord's Word? If you would, back up into chapter 16, and I want to read beginning verse number 29. Chapter 16 of 1 Kings. The Bible said, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun." Verse 1 of chapter 17 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." You can be seated tonight. According to one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, by the name of Isaiah, Isaiah writes in chapter 59 and verse 19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." I'm glad that God had a man by the name of Elijah that lifted up a standard of holiness for his God. I realize the days were dark and the days were bleak, but God had a servant by the name of Elijah who was willing to preach what thus saith the Lord. This evening, With that in mind, I want to preach to us on God, give us some Elijahs. Give us some Elijahs. There are three things I want to emphasize tonight. I want to look at the servant Elijah. The servant Elijah. We are introduced in verse 1 to this prophet of God. He comes on the scene without announcement. There are no accolades. There are no resumes that are pushed forward concerning this prophet of God. He appears suddenly in history at a time when Israel desperately needed to hear from their God. And tonight we find that the Bible has something to say about his identification. It names him. He is named Elijah. And it simply means, my God, Jehovah, is he. For you see, Elijah had a mama and a daddy that feared God. He had parents that had put faith and trust in the God of Israel. And they named him and said, we want our son to claim Jehovah as his God. Aren't you glad for the heritage tonight? Thank God for the roots and the way we've been raised. If you've had a mother and a dad that has taken you to the house of God and prayed with you and loved you and talked to you about the Lord, you ought to thank God for it. I'm glad from my roots that I had somebody that took me to the house of God. Oh, bless his name. His name means, my God, Jehovah is he. I realize in the face of the tide of Israel's hearts turning toward idolatry, here was a man who publicly and unashamedly declares Jehovah as his God, not Baal. Tonight, thank God for a man who is willing to stand against the times that he lives in and declare the truth. He was a man who came from Gilead. Gilead was a rugged country, either in the tribe of Gad or the tribe of Manasseh. Elijah came from. He knew what it was to work hard. He knew what it was to bear up under a load. He knew what it was to walk along those hillsides and to be sure-footed. And tonight, God is looking for some Elijahs in our day. His identification. But look at his declaration. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Here is a man whom, for the most part, the entire nation had bowed its knee to the idol god of Baal. But here was a man who was not ashamed to say to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He is making it clear that Jehovah and not Baal is the God of Israel. And the God of Israel is not an idol who cannot move and who cannot speak, but He is a God who lives, a God who can act, a God who can work, a God who does not sit with His arms folded, a God who can feel, a God who can work, a God who can come to where you and I are at in our needs. He declares Him to be Israel's God. But thirdly, look at His vocation. The Bible said, before whom I stand. In the Old Testament, it was the position of a servant or a slave to stand in the throne room of a king and stand close. So when the king made an edict or requested or commanded something to be done, that servant could run quickly and do it. Elijah here is painting the picture of the fact that he is the servant of Jehovah God. He is saying, I am standing near the throne. I am listening to the commands and the beckonings of His voice. It is my duty. It is my vocation to serve Him. And I am here to deliver God's message to you, Ahab. If you'll repent of sin and turn to Jehovah, God will bless. But if not, God's going to shut up the heavens and it'll not rain according to my word. Tonight, our place ought to be a place of servitude. Sometimes we think ourselves to be too important. I'm just here to tell you, before I was ever born and come along, the church was doing good. And when I die, the church will still go on. The church doesn't need me, but I sure do need the church. And the Lord doesn't need me, but I sure do need Him tonight. The servant, Elijah. But then secondly, I want to look at the spiritual environment. You see, there are some people that they cannot act or work unless the atmosphere is just right. They want the environment. Have you ever tried to preach when there wasn't a good atmosphere? You ever sung somewhere where the environment was not conducive toward worship? You don't just sit down and do nothing. You go ahead and do what God has sent you there to do. Whether the environment is good or not. Now, if I have my druthers, I'd rather it be like it is around here tonight, a good atmosphere. But the Bible said we're to preach in season and out of season. The environment wasn't too conducive toward Elijah's message, but that didn't bother Elijah. Hallelujah! He preached anyhow. Some folks come to church and they want to complain how cold it is. And they want to talk about, well, we hadn't had nobody saved in quite some time. And it's them same folks that hadn't prayed for the service, hadn't knocked on the door in 15 years, but they're complaining. I'm just here to tell you, if you think things are cold, why don't you be a log and throw yourself on the fire and warm the atmosphere? If there hadn't been nobody saved, you ought to go to your neighbor's house and tell them what the Lord has done for you. The environment. Number one, it was an environment of idolatry. Baal had been proclaimed the God of Israel. The altars were broken down. God had been abandoned and forsaken for the most part. Not everybody now. I know Elijah had a little complex there. He thought he was the only one that's doing anything for God, but he wasn't. But I'm glad God used him in his generation. God, give us some Elijahs tonight to rise up in our generation. Hey, the environment spiritually is one of idolatry. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't have none of them. Oh, I dare say, you don't have anything sitting on your mantle tonight that you bow down to worship to, that we would call an idol. But I am here to tell us things that come between us and serving the Lord becomes idols. When other things stand in our way of getting to the house of God, we put the importance on things other than that, they become our idols. Leisure can become an idol. Recreation can become an idol. Work can become an idol. Tonight, hate and bitterness can become an idol in our hearts and in our life. God, give us some Elijahs that'll stand and say, thus saith the Lord. It was a time of idolatry. Baal had been imported from the Zidonians. It was Jezebel's god, a god of fertility, to bless the land through iniquity and sinful acts that were performed in the worship of this idol god. Because they wanted the land blessed to produce. I'd say in the next 3.5 years, Baal's having a pretty hard time. Amen. Cause nothing much was a growing. It was a drying up everywhere. I'm glad that the nature's elements are in the hands of a holy God. Hallelujah tonight. I'm just here to tell you it was an idolatrous generation in which Elijah lived. But it was also an indecisive generation. Elijah later on would say to Ahab, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal, then serve Baal." You see, the picture is they had Baal in one hand, and they had God in the other hand. And they wanted Baal to bless their land and their crops and allow them to live carelessly and loosely without any demands or convictions. And then they wanted God in the other hand so when their enemies came, God would be there to protect them and save them out of their troubles. And the same principle holds today. We want to hold hands with the world, but when sickness and heartache comes, we want God to come to that hospital room. We want the Lord to hear our cry. And when He does, we walk away from Him again. God help us tonight. Indecisive. And by the way, ain't no sense in cussing the preacher out if he don't come to the hospital in a time of trouble when you ain't even been coming to church. Now, He'll come. He'll come. Because He loves you. But you ought not to get mad at Him. Amen. You say, He's just a new pastor. I know. But you better love Him and you better respect Him. And you better look up to Him. And I want to tell you what I've seen on this pulpit. It's a blessing. Hallelujah, preacher. Some of these young people putting these sticky notes all over the pulpit. Telling them how much they love the preacher and how well he's preached. I say, hallelujah. It wouldn't hurt some of you mamas and daddies to do something like that. It sure beats going home to the house and talking about the preacher and what he didn't do and never talk about what he is doing. Amen. That's pretty good preaching. Hallelujah. They were indecisive. They were idolaters. But there was also insubordination. In chapter 16, I read to you about a man by the name of Hiel who decided during the reign of Ahab he was going to rebuild the city of Jericho. Now, if you go back and read in the book of Joshua, you'll find that Joshua had put a curse on the man who would rebuild the city of Jericho. He said anybody that would undertake that job, he would lose his firstborn son when he laid the foundations of the city. And when the gates would be set up, he would lose his youngest son. And Hiel, come to find out, God is true to His Word, but in rebellion to authority, in disrespect to this precious Word, He decides, I'll do it my own way. I'll live my own life. I don't have to listen to the preacher. I don't have to listen to mama and daddy. I'll just choose to go my own way. And you'll find out when you do, there's a consequence and there's a cost involved. You rebel against Him, there'll be certain results that will take place. And Hiel found out about it, that God is always true to His Word. Rebellion will lead us to a path of destruction and death. Oh, we need some Elijahs for our generation. We need some Elijahs for our generation. But thirdly tonight, I want to say something about the secret estuary. And I am referring to the little brook Cherith. For you see, the Lord says, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I'm glad God had a haven for His servant. God had a hiding place. Oh, He knew very well there would come a day that Ahab would go to looking for Elijah, and God is hiding him so no one can find him. But where no one can find him, God is always aware of where is that. And He may not tell Ahab, but He sure will tell the ravens where you're at. I say hallelujah. There may be people tonight, you may not know where you're at, but it is a comfort to know that He knows where you're at. He had a secret estuary, a water source. Now, this water brook is described in its definition as a torrent stream. It was a brook that would only run for a certain number of months through the year. And when the dry season came, the brook would dry up. But in the rainy season, the waters would rush down the deep ravines over the rocks. And the brook Cherith would become a torrent stream. But as the days of rainless time comes, the brook would continue to grow smaller and smaller. And this is where God said to Elijah, I want you to hide yourself. You see, there is something to be said about God's selection in this little brook. I'm not referring so much as God selecting the place for Elijah, though He did, but I'm talking about God selecting the brook for Elijah to go to. Oh, there are some precious truth found in that selection tonight. For you see, God chose a brook. He didn't choose the mighty river of Jordan. He didn't choose of the Euphrates or the Tigris. Oh no, He chose to use an insignificant brook, a little stream of water that He knew would dry up after a while. But that's who God chose to supply Elijah the water he needed. Aren't you glad tonight that God doesn't choose the mighty, but God chooses the small and the insignificant. You may feel like you're unimportant and you're unnecessary and you don't have a place, but I'm glad God will use people like that. He selects the brook and bypasses
the river. Hallelujah. I remember going to Myrtle, Mississippi as a teenager. I heard men of God preach. In that era, a preacher by the name of Curtis McCarley preached on the mother ministry of the Holy Ghost. A classic sermon thrilled my heart as a 17-year-old teenager. I remember hearing Dr. Percy Ray and J. Harold Smith, those men of God, preach. But every once in a while, Brother Percy would call upon some young preachers to preach 3 minutes. I was a young preacher. I never did go up. But when he did, several would run to the platform. And I remember one man, he was probably a little shorter than you, and had on a black suit. Looked like it had been cleaned about 1,500 times. It's shiny. Had a white shirt and a long, narrow black tie. I don't remember what he preached on. But about 30 minutes later, hallelujah, the heavens had already come down and everybody was amazed at what God had done. I don't know who the man was. Couldn't call his name. But I do know this. Though he was insignificant and unknown, God used him to shake that place, and it shook the heart of this young teenage boy. And one day when I get on the other side of the river, I'm going to find out who he was and tell him how much it helped my life. I'm just here to tell you, God will use a brook. He doesn't need a river to feed his servant. He selects. There's something else about this brook. That submission. You see, water travels on a designated path. When the bend of the gorge or the ditch that it travels turns to the left, the water turns to the left. And when it turns back to the right, the water follows the path that is set before it. And tonight, that's a pretty good way to serve the Lord. When He directs a turn in your life, or when He straightens things out, then just flow with the path. Be pliable. Be bendable. Be soft-hearted. Don't become stiff-necked and cold-hearted and hard-hearted. Stay warm toward the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit and don't grieve the Holy Ghost when He touches your life. Bend your heart toward Him. When the Word of God is delivered to your heart, then open it up and let God do something for your life. Submit yourself to what thus saith the Lord. There's something else about this brook. It not only has something to say about selection and submission, but praise God, it has something to say about the Savior. And all of our lives ought to bring honor to His name. That's why we serve. Not to get patted on the back. Oh no. we serve, that we might bear testimony of who He is. Tonight, Jesus is symbolized here in this brook. You see, God shows Elijah His provisions by this brook. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Not down by the river Jordan, but by the brook Cherith. And you go down to that brook and you drink water out of that brook. And it's amazing how God provides for our needs in the right kind of order. You see, long before we need something to eat, we'll have to have something to drink. You can survive several days and weeks without food, but there ain't but about 3 or 4 days you can survive without water. And God takes care of water first, and then He tells him, I'm gonna feed you every morning and every evening with the ravens. Hallelujah. He redeemed them. Why, the ravens run out on Noah when He sent them out of the ark and never did come back. But praise God, I'm glad the Lord didn't throw them away. God had a work for them to do. Aren't you glad God didn't throw you away? Aren't you glad God didn't leave you to yourself? But in grace and mercy, He redeemed you. Provisions of our Savior. Some of you sitting here tonight, no doubt today something come in the mail you wasn't really expecting, but you really needed. Maybe it was a card. Maybe it was a piece of money. But you needed it. I know this past week, Miss Barbara handed me an envelope. And it was a card from one of our young girls in the church. The church had provided them school supplies to all of our young folks, just a bag full of supplies they needed, just to, so they'd know we cared about them, and we were praying for them as they're going back to school. And this young girl, her mama and daddy don't come to church. She comes with her grandmother, and sent Miss Barbara a card, and she just didn't sign her name. She had something to say, and she was thanking her for the supplies that had been given, and how she needed some of those things in school. And she said, isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord knows how to send things by. Some of us adults, as I said earlier, should learn from those kind of things. Oh, God does provide for His children when you're down by the brook Cherith. But I want to say something about attention to the Savior. Not just the provisions from the Savior, but attention to the Savior. You see, again, God had Elijah there so Elijah could focus on Jehovah. So Elijah's faith could become stronger. His attentions were to be toward Jehovah God. And the Lord had him there for that purpose and that reason. Sometimes we don't understand why the Lord takes us by the hospital room. Sometimes we don't understand why God takes us to the little brooks and why he directs our life down a long path. Sometimes God just wants us to get our eyes looking toward Him. As long as we're in the busy lane of life, we can't pay attention to what He wants from us. But when He gets us alone with Him, then He can go to talking to us and helping us. You see, again, God didn't take Elijah to the River Jordan. God took him to the brook. You see, and the brook dried up. If God would have took him to the River Jordan, why, he could have still been sitting there drinking water. And think, this is easy. But God took him to a brook. So Elijah realized that it was God who was feeding him and giving him to drink. And God would get all the glory from it. Hallelujah. Talked to a preacher this past weekend who cannot preach anymore. Because of a condition of his vocal cords, hasn't preached any since the first of this year, and it breaks my heart. I love the man. Me and Miss Barbara love him and his wife. He talks raspy. He said, "Preacher, they've done all they can do." And he made this statement. He said, "I'm at a point now that if I get healed, God will get all the glory because they've done give up on me." And he said, "Whether I ever preach again or not," he said, "God's been good to me and has blessed my life." Sometimes God has to get us to a place where we won't steal His glory, where God has to get all the glory. That's where he had Elijah at. He had him down by the brook. And by the way, that brook would dry up. And let me encourage every one of us to take advantage of our opportunities. Because one day it's going to pass us by. Someday our brook's going to dry up. And we better redeem the time. And we better take advantage of every open door and every opportunity to serve our God. God, give us some Elijahs. Tonight, we need some Elijahs in the church. I'm not necessarily talking about preachers tonight. We need some Elijahs to serve as deacons. We need some Elijahs to stand in those Sunday school classes. We need some Elijahs in fathers and in mothers. We need some Elijahs that are in government positions and county positions. We need teachers in our schools that are Elijahs for God in these dark days. Gonna ask you tonight to stand while they come around and get a song of invitation. Whoever's gonna take care of that, would you stand with me tonight? God's looking for some Elijahs. I'm going to ask you tonight, is God wanting you? What about your father? What about your mother? What about Sunday school teacher, choir member, deacon, public school teacher? Preacher, God's looking for Elijahs. Oh, how we need somebody to lift up a standard against the iniquity and the wickedness. We need somebody that'll Be brave and strong. God, help us tonight to be an Elijah. Wow, they get a song ready for us. Brother, what number have you got? Number 81. Wow, they began, if God has spoken to your heart, would you step out from where you're at and come? Oh, how we need some Elijahs.
Just as I am with
He's speaking to you tonight. God, give us some Elijahs. You need to be an Elijah for your family. An Elijah for that Sunday school class. An Elijah for the choir. An Elijah for your neighbors. An Elijah for your school. God, give us some Elijahs tonight. Tonight, the days we live in are dark and bleak. How we need a light to shine in this dark world. God's looking for some Elijahs who will let their light shine. Though you may feel like it would be small, let me tell you, when it's dark all around, it don't have to burn bright to know a light's been turned on. You see, darkness cannot overwhelm light, but light can overwhelm darkness. And tonight, our little children sing, I'm going to let my little light shine. God help us to be an Elijah.